Radha's evening meal. Tulasi arrived in Yavat and showed Krishna's remnants to Radhika and the Sakis. Everyone bloomed with joy upon seeing and smelling the pleasing colors and fragrance of the food. Today, actually, we got the same. We got the Mahaprasad from Krishna in Nanda Gaon, and it was so pleasing, isn't it? Didn't you also appreciate the taste? So Srimati Radharani blooms up to smell the pleasing colors and fragrance of the food. Rupa Manjari took the prasad from Tulasi, brought it to the dining room, and prepared plates for Radha and her friends. Meanwhile, Yatila called to Vishaka, "Hey, Abhimanyu has eaten and gone to the Goshala to rest. Please call Radha to take the remnants of Abhimanyu." Oh, heavy apparat, because Radharani is married to Abhimanyu. He has just finished his evening meal. And now the wife is supposed to honor the remnants of her husband. So Radhika should eat the remnants of Abhimanyu. But Radhika has just smelled the fragrance of Krishna's prasada. Vishaka said gravely, "Your daughter-in-law has fallen asleep from exerting herself in the forest. I will save the food from Abhimanyu and give it to her later." Very gravely. Vishaka smirked while keeping Abhimanyu's remnants in a corner of the dining room, just some corner, like dog's stool, you know. Vishaka, smiling joyfully, met Radha and described how she had cleverly avoided Yatila's request. You know, she had said, Radha is a little tired. She will take it later. To honor Krishna's remnants, Radha and her Sakhi sat on low, jeweled, inlaid seats beside a gem-studded table covered with a splendid silken cloth. Radha relished Krishna's adaramrita, nectar of Krishna's lips, mixed in the prasad, just like a thirsty female swan sipping nectar. Lalita and Vishaka sat on Radha's right and left. The other Sakis sat around Radha in a semicircle. Rupa Manjari and Tulsi tenderly served Krishna's nectar-surpassing remnants to the Sakis, just as Mohini once distributed nectar to the demigods. There was actually very little food. However, when it was served, the rice and sabjis seemed endless because they were touched by Hari's transcendental hands, sweetened by Syama's lips, glanced upon by Srimati, and hankered for by the whole world. So there was little food, but because everything was touched by Krishna, it seemed to multiply. As female swans savor the lotus stems left by their husbands, as deer enjoy the soft new shoots, as bees drink the flower nectar, and as chakoris imbibe the moonbeams, Radha and her sakis attained the pinnacle of bliss, relishing the remnants of their lover. Radhika and the sakis rinsed their mouths after eating. The sakis blissfully chewed Krishna's prasadi pan and rested on beds, while their maidservants rendered different services. Tulasi and Rupa Manjari sent some of Radha's remnants to Vrinda via a messenger named Malati. Before sitting down to happily honor Radha's remnants themselves, Tulasi and Rupa arranged prasad for Radha's other sakis and manjaris. A mock fight broke out among the manjaris as they tried to place the best items from Radha's remnants on each other's plates. Tulasi and Rupa Manjari rinsed their mouths after eating. They went joyfully to serve Radha Rani, who affectionately gave them her prasadi pan. So, as you can hear from my tired sound, this is the time to go to bed. Yashoda put Krishna to bed and retired to her sleeping chamber. Krishna closed his eyes for a few moments. Then he got up abruptly and ushered the servants outside his room. "I will sleep now. Don't be in the room. I can't sleep really if you're here." Re-entering his room, Krishna locked the door inside and slipped out a side door to meet Radhika. Crowds of people milled about in the moonlight by the main gate of the palace. You must know that Nanda Maharaj's palace was really a place where a lot of traffic went on. It's almost like Ras Mandir. Everyone knows if I go to Ras Mandir, I will get prasadam, isn't it? There's always prasadam. If not, the ladies will just sit down and cook something. It's such a place. And there is a lot of traffic going on in the big trucks come and go, bringing full pots and thousands of chapatis to the yatris and returning with empty pots and so on. So in Nanda Maharaj's Bhavan, Nanda Bhavan, it was also a place of a lot of charity. It's described that each morning Nanda Maharaj would personally come out before the gates of the palace and distribute food to the people. For instance, when beggars came, Krishna's father gave them personally sweet rice. Now, some beggars were so poor that they didn't have any containers. They had some leaf plates or some cloth. Then Nanda Maharaj would personally give them a fresh new lota so that they could put the sweet rice inside. He was extremely charitable. He would give cows away. And so Nanda Maharaj was a very favored king. Everyone liked him really because of his wisdom, his kindness, his gravity, and his fatherly care for everyone. And they just loved him, the Brijbasis, and there was always someone before the gates of the palace, which made it difficult for Krishna to escape and meet Radha Rani, because there was so much traffic of people, even when it was night and the moon lit. So What did Krishna do? Krishna, fearing detection, went behind the palace and fled from the village on a secluded path covered by the shadow of the trees. As soon as Krishna started walking, Brajabhumi lifted him on the lotus of her heart and whisked Krishna to the rendezvous place with the speed of the mind. It seemed that Krishna arrived there just by thinking of it. You know, we hear the Brajabhumi as a mystical lotus, and when Krishna wants to go somewhere, the lotus either closes so that it's very easy for him to go from one leaf to another. Distances, in other words, or space and time, to put it in more modern physical language, or into the modern language of physics, I wanted to say, seem to be flexible in Braj. They shrink or expand as it is conducive. It could be in theory that someone wants to go to a place and goes for days and days and not reach there. I felt the day we had this experience, we needed to be in Ramachandra Goswami's, and the road we took was exactly the same, but we were much, much, much faster. I mean, wristwatch faster than we came, because we actually needed to be in time there, and time and space seemed to shrink even today. And I think you have experienced this when you wanted to go from Uchagaon to Vashana, then it became an unlimitedly long walk, isn't it? Yeah? So, while proceeding, Krishna thought, full of anxiety, "I left the moonlit road to take the shaded path, but I wonder if my beloved Priyaji is the name of Radha, has arrived already at the meeting place. In the meantime, lovely Radha rose from bed and first relaxed on a gem-studded chair brought by her manjaris." So Radharani gets full of eagerness to meet her Lord Krishna, and she describes Krishna to her friends. She says, "Krishna's attractive feet spread out like streams from a river of sweetness and bestow the supreme happiness. They reflect the luster of lotuses and are tinted the color of rubies. The sparkling glow of Hari's toenails illuminates his lotus feet, which are marked with the distinctive symbols of a flag, lotus, barley corn, and elephant goat. Brajendranandan bestows the topmost limits of whatever his devotees desire." It's very interesting that Krishna's feet, which you can see in the corner, are described so nicely as streams from a river of sweetness come from them. They have the luster of lotus flowers and are tinted the color of rubies. When he goes, it's a reddish light.
And the sparkling glow comes from Krishna's toenails, which illuminate his lotus feet. Why the lotus is used? Well, the lotus pleases the senses in five ways. The softness of lotus flowers are found in Krishna's feet. They are very soft. The coolness of lotus flowers are found in Krishna's feet. They cool. The fire of passion, when they come in the heart, then the fragrance of lotus flowers is there. Krishna's feet are also fragrant. The beautiful color of Krishna's lotus feet are there. They are reddish. And there is even a sound coming from the lotus, because they are constant bees. Around the lotus flowers. So Krishna's lotus feet emit a tinkling. Tinkle, 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 tinkle from the ankle belts. There's a sound coming. Wonderful, isn't it? So in this way, Krishna's lotus feet go into the heart, and when one meditates about them, and they become active with their distinctive symbols of the flag. It's a victory flag over the enemies of devotional progress. The lotus is there. It cools the heart. And the elephant goat means just like a big, big elephant is controlled by a little stick with a hook on it. Meditation of Krishna's lotus feet controls the wild elephant of our mind, which is uncontrollable. When we are happy in devotion, our mind becomes controlled. It doesn't think that all this nonsense any longer. What else is there? And barley corn is a sign of wealth. A wealthy man has barley in his house. So Krishna is prepared to bestow even material wealth on his devotees, like Madhva Muni and Kishori, or wealthy Grihasthas from the Belkane Mountains. Hare Krishna. Radharani says, "Let my husband become angry if he finds out that his food is in the corner. Let my friends criticize me. Let them fall upon me, whatever other catastrophe may be in the world. I simply do not care. I simply wish that my eyes may eternally drink the nectar of Krishna's handsome form." Then Radharani ends her description of Krishna's beauty by saying, "O Sundari, the Saki, beautiful friend, by continually playing his flute on the bank of the Jamuna, that playful debauchee has stolen my heart." Krishna stands at the Jamuna, and as Rupa Goswami says, it is very dangerous to go there, to the Jamuna, because if we see Krishna or hear his flute, we might lose our attraction to the material world. Of course, that is what all of us want in our heart. So this is Radharani's evening meal. It consists out of the remnants of Krishna's prasadam, not her husband's, so-called husband's food. And she meditates about a meeting with Krishna by thinking of Krishna's lotus feet. Let us lovingly call out Srimati Radharani's name. Jai Sri Radhe Shyam.